I wandered aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wander alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
This world can be cold and bitter. Feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine, let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see. That it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes a little faith. Let it start right here in this city, so these old walls will never be the same. Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. They need to know I need to go. Spirit, won't you follow my heart now? Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see. That it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. You are the fire, you are the flame. You are the light on the darkest day. We have the hope, we bear your name. We carry the news that you have come to save. Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow. So there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see. That it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me.
All right, let's give our youth another round of applause. That was great. Now we're going to take up an offering, and our youth are going to do that as well. So if you would, let's pray together. Lord, we come to you today thankful for the opportunity to be here. And God, we thank you for keeping us safe through this bad weather. Lord, we pray that you'd be with the ones that couldn't make it. And God, as they take up this offering, I pray that you'd bless this offering and that you'd use it, that you use these youth, Father. And God, we thank you for the kind of service that we have tonight, because there's so many places in America where they don't get to do this. And Lord, there's so many people that could have been here tonight, but they chose to be somewhere else. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to them. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Out and guard yourself from all types of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. Let your beauty not be external, the braiding of hair and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but the inner person of the heart, the lasting beauty of a gentle and tranquil spirit, which is precious in God's sight. 1 Peter 3:3-4. For those who live according to the flesh have their outlook shaped by the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their outlook shaped by the things of the Spirit. For the outlook of the flesh is death, but the outlook of the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 8:5-6. Be sober and alert. Your enemy, the devil, like a roaring lion, is on the prowl looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8.
Yeah.
just a second. Ooh, there's money up here. All right, guys, I'm impressed. Let's give these youth another round of applause. That was great. You guys did a great job. Thank you, drama. That was very good. All right. I'm going to get started, get right into it. If I can get this to work, hang on. Bear with me. Does anybody know how to work a podium? There we go. All right, sorry. I got it wrong. We're going to start off with prayer. Before we get started, and before I get started into that, did and I'm going to ask a question. This is strange. Did the accident get cleared from the intersection up the hill? Did anybody see that? Okay, I was curious. I didn't know if there were injuries or anybody knew anything about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Lord, we come to you thankful for this day, Lord. Thankful for the opportunity to meet in your house. And God, we thank you for these youth and these young people that are willing to stand up here in front of these people and put this together. But God, we're asking for your mercy and your grace tonight, God, that we would understand the words that we're going to hear, and Lord, that we could apply them to our lives. And Lord, if there be one here tonight that doesn't know you, that they won't leave without turning their life over to you. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right. Title of this will be, What Must We Realize as Young Christians? And then I thought about young Christians after I'd put it down. It's on the paper, and I thought, why not just Christians in general? What we must realize. And there are four topics, four points that I want to go over. And the first one would be, we must realize our purpose. And we're created for a purpose. We're created for a single purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God. That's what we're here for. That's what we're all here for. In Isaiah 43:7, it says, Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And that reaffirms what I just said. We're created for his glory, but it's all through the book that way. It's not just specific in that verse. But David said in Psalms 100, verse 2 and 3, he said, Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And all week long, last week I was putting this together. I've had to work this week, so I take advantage of the time when I can. You know, I can't be still. And people ask me all the time, Man, your son is never still. Where'd he get it from? And I think he got it from me. I can't write and be still. I walk around the living room in the house, and my wife gets angry because I won't eat and be still. I stand up and I eat at home, and I have passed that trait on to him, so I probably look very, very awkward when I write because I'm usually moving, steady moving, and I'm going to move right here. But we're here to praise God, and we're here to serve God, but not because God needs us. Not because he needs us, but because he loves us. And we have other purposes, but our main purpose is to serve God. And some of the other ones are, we're to love one another. Who's heard that before? You heard that in the Bible? Love one another. How about bear each other's burdens? Have you heard that before? Encourage one another. But we have to remember, whatever the cost may be, our biggest purpose is to glorify God. And that brings me to my second point. We must realize our weakness. And sometimes that's the hardest part to see. That's where your weakness lies. But to understand it, you have to define it. And what is weakness? And the best that I can come up with is anything or everything that takes your eyes off of Jesus is weakness. Anything that will take your focus away from the Lord, away from Jesus Christ, is the beginning of trouble. You can raise your hands for this one. Who remembers when they first got saved? I remember that. Do you remember it? Do you remember it well? Do you remember the excitement that you had? See, I remember it too. And sometimes I lose a little bit of the way that felt, and I try to reflect back and look at it again and look at it again. But the truth about it was I was a wreck. I was saved, but I was so excited. My wife happened to be there. I was very excited. I was on fire, but in a good way. I thought that I just needed anything, just something to do for God. Just give me something, and I'm going to take part in it. I want to be wide open for the Lord. I tried praying in front of people that, let's face it, I wasn't ready. I tried playing out loud. I was so green. Do you know what the term green means? Young, no experience, not very good at this at all. I tried talking about the Lord. I tried witnessing to gas station clerks. I thought that'd be a good idea. And I'm talking about specific gas station clerks. And this is not going to be politically correct, but I'm talking about the kind with beards and turbans. That was my goal. God spoke, speak to this man. And I would go in and I would speak and he would reject me every single time. It didn't matter. But I didn't give up. I kept going. See, God was in tune with what was going on in my life. I was green. But everybody else around me was not. It was different. Right after I got saved, some of my friends thought I was crazy and stopped coming around. Have any ever lost a friend or had somebody separate themselves? Because you want to talk about the Lord. Has that ever happened? You ever talk about Jesus as one of your friends and they start pulling back a little bit? You had that happen. Or you get around somebody and they're good and everything's cool and you like talking to one another, but you start talking about the Lord and they start separating. They don't want to be there. It took a while before they started coming back around. I was going through this period in my life. And I found myself, instead of looking from the outside in as being, before I was saved, I would look at Christians a certain way and I didn't understand them. But when from the inside out, it's a different view. It's not the same thing. And I was concerned because of my weakness. I didn't understand. We must understand our weakness. I didn't understand what to do. Just like so many young people today, just like you guys, I had questions. People laughed at me. They mocked me, especially when I would talk about it. Even the gas station clerk guy laughed at me. I would come in and say, here he comes again. He's going to buy something and come up here and I'm going to have to, just basically laugh at him in his face. And I was beginning to understand who God was. But then what happened was I looked around and I didn't have the friends that I used to have. I was almost alone. So when my friends come back around, I decided I'm going to stop talking about it so much because I'm running them off. I'm scaring them. They won't be around anymore. And when I started that was the beginning of a road that I was not ready to take. I started relying on my own thoughts again. The gas station clerk still laughed at me. Some of my friends were still afraid of me. I started thinking that God had no plan for me anymore, and I didn't know what to do. But in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and is desperately wicked, who can know it?" See, when I started leaning back on my thoughts again, and I wasn't looking at Jesus anymore, I had taken my eyes off. I wasn't looking for him anymore. I was trying to live both lives. Now listen, this is something that you might can apply to your life. How many of you have friends that are not saved? I do, to this day. Some of them that were a part of this part of my life. You got friends like that aren't saved? How many of you try to speak to them about God? If you'll notice, sometimes, in fact, a lot of times, they don't want to hear it, especially as they get older. But again, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. And my heart was turning back to the place that I was, not the place where I should be going. Right here, and that very situation that we're talking about that I was in my life was this young girl right here. She had seen who Jesus was. And he had shown her so many of the greatest things on earth. But then what happened was life started moving along. And when the troubled times come along, she pulled her eyes away from Jesus. She looked for something entirely different. And she come across Jacob, not really Jacob, but that's the guy that was, that's him. Jacob, you're not a bad guy. But Maddie was looking at him, and they got tangled up, and it started the downfall. And see, I had found myself resorting to things that I had prayed God to get rid of, that I wanted to be away from. I knew I was different. I knew I was saved. I knew I needed Jesus. But I was just not aware of just how much. See, in Matthew 26, 41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." It says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Remember, I just told you a while ago that when I first got saved, I was ready. I was ready. I was looking for one reason. Just give me something to do, God. Show me something that I can start with. And what I was doing was I was trying to do God's work on my terms. I just wanted to do it. I was just ready to go for it. Wide open. And then as time went on, I started to realize, just like the young girl up here, that I couldn't live my life without the mercy and forgiving power of Jesus Christ. There was no future for where I was going because we're weak. God was showing me why that I needed Him. He was exposing my weakness, exposing where I got it wrong, exposing the little problems in life that cause you to stumble. See, God wants to influence your entire life, not just a part of it. When you come down to these altars and you pray to God to save you, what I've seen happen in some people's lives, young, is they come down here and they say the words. They ask the Lord to save their soul and they take on Jesus. And then they find a little corner to put Jesus in. Set Him over here in this corner. And they continue to live life just like they were. But then they look at their life and they say, "I'm saved. I went down to the altar and I said those words. And I put Jesus in this corner. And I'm still going to live life just like I was. And I've made room for Him. I've made room for Jesus right over here." But that's not what He wants. God wants all of it. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. Every bit of it. You see, when Jesus comes on the scene, all the darkness and all the evil and all the bad things that can happen to you, leave. Whew. Evil can't be around Jesus. It must flee. Light comes into life. The burdens are gone. In Ephesians 2:8, it says this: "For by grace are ye saved through faith, but not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." God has given us this gift of salvation. God is telling us we don't have the ability to save ourselves or do anything to impress Him to earn it. Our salvation is a gift that is given from God to us, and it cannot be retracted. We'll say that again. God has given us the salvation, the gift of salvation, if we're willing to receive it. And once you receive it, it cannot be retracted. No one can take that from you. Not even Satan. It's yours. Jesus told Paul, He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I believe that He is talking about our weakness. Point number 3. We must realize the need to submit to Christ as Lord. See, Jesus motivates godly living, or Jesus motivates the Christian life. The presence of the Holy Spirit in your life will be visible by others. And I'm going to ask you guys to raise your hand. That's the way I know how to do this. Do you know someone that you can see that Jesus is a huge part of their life? And you can watch them. You can see it. Would you have to ask them were they a Christian, or could you just see it? We must realize the need to submit to Christ as Lord. No other motivation is needed. There's no replacement for Jesus. Jesus is the answer. In other words, there's nothing that we can put in place of him and have the same effect. It's kind of like this, putting your life in God's hands or putting your life at God's disposal. Who likes to speak to people out loud? Tell them about the Lord. Cool, I do. I love it. Who likes to play games out in the field on the camp days or in the celebrations that we have outside, all that stuff? Who likes to be a part of kickball games and all that stuff? Who likes to clean out hog pens with a shovel? Nobody likes to clean it. We got one. Got a guy that likes to clean a hog pen out with a shovel. When you put your life in the hands of the Lord and he asks you to do things and he wants you to do things, there may be a time where you have to clean out a hog pen. And I know some men in this church that if you say, if God tells them, you know, I need you to clean out this hog pen, they would have already been walking out the door to go to the hog pen with two shovels just in case they broke one, just in case they lost a shovel in the war. Everybody wants to do the stuff that's fun. Everybody wants to do the stuff that's exciting, but sometimes it gets tough. It's about total submission, giving it all, giving every bit of it. And I heard another preacher say this, and I can't remember the exact time, but I remember this like it was yesterday as far as the sound in my head. It said, God honors those that honor him. And I think a submission to God, giving everything you got, not just leaving Jesus in a corner, is honoring God. And here's where the end of my story comes up. And we're going to go back to the drama. See, I was at a spot where I couldn't hear the Lord speak to me anymore. I felt like that there was no purpose left. Do you remember what the first purpose was? Or the first point was? Our purpose is to glorify God. That's our purpose in life. That's number one. Second to none. But I was right there. I couldn't find what I wanted to do. And then I started to fear. Have I done something wrong? Am I really saved? Did I do something that has caused me to fall away from God? I can't find him anymore. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I had to completely put myself in front of Jesus. 100%. Lord, I don't know what to do. Where am I at? And the problem was, I was steady trying to increase God and I together. You see, I wanted God to be a part of my life, but I still wanted to be ruler of my life. And they don't work that way. It doesn't go that way. He must increase, I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. By the way, I think, Miss Sunday, you got that sticker on your car?
No.
Oh, that's a little more permanent. It's a little more permanent. That's taking it to the next level right there. I've only got one tattoo, and I'm trying desperately to get it off. I don't know if I'm willing to go that route again. I think I'd rather have the tattoo than the pain of trying to take one off. But point number four, a little different. We must realize the dangers of profession without faith. And the Bible is full of many, many promises. And I made the mistake of looking literally in a Bible app that I've got, and I put up God's promises, thinking, all right, I know some of them, I don't know them all, and I'm gonna read this again. Well, I got about 450 pages. The book is full of God's promises. Tons of them. But in Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In other words, God has not done nothing to damage his reputation. So when God says something, he's going to do it. When God makes a promise, it's going to happen. When God says that it's not his will that any man should perish, that's his will. When God says, if you call on his name and that he'll save you, he will save you. But it's got to be real. We've got to be in it. And you ask yourself sometimes, and again, I'll ask you to raise your hand again. How many of you have you got to the spot to where you don't feel like God has anything for you to do? I've been there. Like, I'm saved, but God, there's nothing. What do I do? There's nothing to do. I don't know what to do from here. Sometimes we have to judge our motives. Y'all know what motives mean, right? Judge our motives. See, when I was running out annoying gas station clerks, my motive was for that guy to come to know the Lord. But the problem was, I was doing it just out of trying to see the man turn. We weren't on the same page. I had lost track. When my friends come around, what God wanted me to do was witness to my friends. But I didn't do that. I was afraid to, because I knew if I witnessed to them, they would run again. They would be gone. And I didn't want to lose them. But my motives were selfish. I wanted them to like me still. We must question ourselves and be honest. And you know, we've been talking about this in Sunday school. It says, are you changed or are you challenged? And what that means is, have you been challenged with the spot? Have you been challenged with the task of finding room in your life for Jesus? Or has Jesus Christ changed your life? And that there is a difference. There is a very big difference. In John 3:5, it says, Jesus answered, says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that was my fear. I needed a real relationship with God. I needed something serious. I needed to submit myself totally. And I was struggling. And if you're here, and I'll just say it plainly, if you're not saved, you have every reason to be afraid. Every reason to be afraid. If it were to end today, and you're not saved, you will perish, and you will spend eternity in hell. That's not fun to tell somebody. In fact, it's the opposite of fun. But those aren't my words. In Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone... I'm sorry I'm outrunning you guys, by the way. Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And Matt Runyon brought up something that was very good, that put this verse in the context that it needs to be put in. What this verse is saying is, there'll be a lot of men that'll stand in front of Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, it's me. And there'll be some people that Jesus will say, I never knew you. And you say, I don't understand. Well, I didn't either. How about this? If I go to the White House gate, just me, I bang on the gate. There's going to be a couple of guards come forth. And they may look at me strange because I have a beard. And they'll say, can I help you? And I'm going to say, yeah, I'm here to see the president. And they're going to say, well, I'm sorry. You can't see the president. Yeah, but I know him. You know the president? Sure. His name's Barack Obama. His wife is Michelle Obama. He has a smoking problem. He has two daughters and a dog. He's the president of the United States. He's got an airplane. I know everything about him. Yeah, I know the guy. Let me in, please. The guard's going to get on, you know, the fancy little microphone that's right here on his shoulder. And he's going to say, Mr. President, or somebody. There's a man here named Alan Davis with a beard that'd like to see you. He says he knows you. What's the president going to say? I can't imitate the president. I'm sorry. If I could do it, I would. But he's going to say, I have no idea who that was. I don't know that guy. Lock him up. Or send him away. They'll probably lock me up. But just because I knew everything about the president does not mean that I knew the president. Does that make sense? You can read Matthew 7:21. We'll go there again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let that soak in, inside, deep. You can know everything this book says. You can memorize this book from beginning to end. But that don't make you saved. It does not. You can know everything about this book and every word that Jesus spoke in this book. And that does not mean you're saved. So in response to that verse, and it says, Lord, Lord, not everyone that says Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So is the question, do you know Jesus? Or it should be, does he know you? It's a very good question. Have you completely submitted to Jesus? Have you submitted to God? Or are you in limbo? Are you in that spot that you don't really know what to do? A personal relationship with God is absolutely required. It is a requirement. If we want to spend eternity with Him, it is a requirement. It's not just claiming that you know the Lord, but does the Lord know you? Now, when I look at this young girl up here on this stage and all the things that piled in on her when she had the opportunity, she run to Jesus. Jesus threw everybody off, slung everybody on the ground, and Jesus was there. So we know that she had a relationship with the Lord because we saw it. If you put yourself in that same exact spot and you needed Jesus, would the outcome be the same? Would you have the same outcome? Would Jesus come to your rescue? Would it be that way? See, the Lord loves you dearly. He's looking for you. He wants your attention. He wants you to submit to Him. Turn to Him. And tonight, there's going to be an opportunity where there's going to be a song. And there's not going to be anybody up on stage. It's just going to be a song. We're going to watch the screens. And if God is speaking to you, and you're saved, and you know there's a situation and something you need to leave with Him, don't take it out into the rain. Leave it right here. If you know, and only you know, only you can answer this question. If you know that you're not saved, why take the chance? Why go anywhere? Why not leave it right here? It can be fixed right here. The Lord will wrap His arms around you and pick you up and encourage you and let you know that you're His forever. That can never be taken from you. Now, when I say these things, and as I put this together, I knew that this message could speak to someone. Because God put it on me like that. God gave it to me like that. And I'm saying this out of love for you guys. Don't miss it. Submit to the Lord. Give Him everything. He'll bless you for it. Now there's going to be a time we're about to get ready to play this song. And these altars are open. You don't have to wait. We're going to start playing. And again, if the Lord's speaking to you, please use it. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Thank you very much again. One last time, let's get a round of applause for the drama. It was very good. As we leave tonight, guys, be careful. It's nasty weather out there. I'm thankful we can come to a place like this and talk about the Lord freely. And everybody don't run off. And before we get done, I'd like to ask Jacob if he'd pray us out. And when he prays, we can be dismissed.